The letters of 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians are very different letters. Well, obviously, Josh. But what I mean is their tone is a lot different. And it's interesting because they start off the same way as do most of Paul's letters. They begin with thankfulness. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. Start off very similarly, and yet they're so different. They are different in more than length. Obviously, there's a difference in that too. But again, in the letter to Corinth, there seems to be, or there is, a lot more reprimands for these brethren. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 4. So if you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. So Paul is thankful for this brethren, and yet it definitely seems like they have a lot to work on. And the Thessalonians sure might have some things to work on. Again, the letters just don't read the same way. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us, just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all of our distress and affliction, we are comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live, if you stand firm in the Lord. Chapter 4, and verse 1, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Chapter 5, and verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are already doing. Now, within this letter, there is some teaching that is given by Paul, so they probably did have some things that they still needed to work on. Again, the letter just doesn't seem, it is not as sharp as the letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians. So, if Paul was around today, and he wrote a letter to the congregation here in Happy, Texas, what would that contain? What would the epistle or the letter to the Happians read like? I know that he would begin just as the same as he does in all of his letter with thanks, thankfulness to you. We represent Christ Jesus in this world. We have faith in Christ Jesus in this world and acknowledge him in a world that overall does not. But then what would he have to say after that? What would he say about our unity? What would he say about our love? And if we were standing in the truth and if we had a heart for it, what would he say about our service to one another? What would be our weak points that Paul would point out? What would be our strong points that he would rejoice over? And after the conclusion, after we got done reading the letter and everything was said and done, what would we do next? Whichever way we fell tone-wise in that. Because although these letters have a different tone, growth is one of the main points that Paul is getting across in both of these letters. Corinth obviously needed to grow. They had a lot that they needed to work on. And the Thessalonians, who perhaps is doing a lot of things right, yet Paul still says, excel still more in what you're doing. If we feel like, as a congregation, if we feel like we have a lot of things that we need to work on, well, let's do that. I personally feel like there's a lot of reason to be excited about this congregation. There's a lot of babies, a lot of youth. There's some not youth, whoever may fall within that category. but not youth that is mature in the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we represent our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's present within our congregation. But wherever we are now, wherever we fall on the spectrum, we can still go higher. Well, how do you do that? I mean, if you feel like you're doing the best, how do you do better? And if you feel like you're not doing good, how do you do better? I mean, sometimes that's harder than the first case. Well, it begins by realizing that we can. And Paul, he writes to the brethren in Thessalonica, excel still more, and he does that because they can. And he does not use this language specifically, but he is telling the Corinthians and reminding them of who they are in Christ so that he can point out to excel. He's telling them to excel like they can because they can. And the reason why that they can is because of the Lord that connects them. It is God that that causes the increase. This is a point talking more about numerical growth, but on the day of Pentecost, as we read in Acts chapter 2, it's amazing to see that the church grew 3,000 people, or over 3,000 people. That's a number that, I don't know, that you can kind of be satisfied with. And yet our brethren back then were not. They continued to pursue God, and they continued to grow. And that's something that I feel like is applicable both numerically and also just within our individual spiritual growth. If we are cold, we can be warm. If we are hot, we can be even hotter as long as we are seeking Him for the increase. It will be there. And even though, so far I've kind of been just talking about growth as a congregation on a whole, we have to remember that a congregation consists of individuals. Paul, as he is writing to these congregations, is not just writing to some faceless name, the Church of Thessalonica or the church in Corinth. These are people that he's writing to, a congregation that consists of people. And he is telling each individual person, encouraging each individual person within that congregation to grow. And each one of us can grow too, wherever we are. I was real disappointed when I, in my teens, got to the height that I was going to be at forever. It was just kind of a sad thing to realize, okay, I'm done now. We are not at that point spiritually. And, who knows how much growing we can do? Don't you want to find that out? Ephesians 4 and verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Christ, our head, is our goal. It is Christ who we are growing into, and we can look at that and realize the impossibility of it, or we can realize that that means that we have immeasurable room for growth. We can be more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, every single day for the rest of our life. We can continue to grow every minute, every day for the rest of our life until we see our Lord face to face. So, with all this in mind, take some time to measure yourself. Think about where you are now spiritually. And then, think about where you were 5 years ago. Do you find some encouragement in that? Well, even if you don't, you can change that now. The next 5 years of your life can be the greatest years of growth of your life when it comes to being a servant of God. And even if you have grown a lot in the last 5 years, the next 5 years can be even better. Wherever we are now, high, low, in between, just wherever we are, we can excel still more for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Growth always has a starting point. And for all of us, it begins with taking on Christ as Lord of our lives. And if you would like to do that this evening, please come forward, repent, and be baptized in our Lord while we stand and as we sing.